You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. You are not Anthony Irwin. You are Harrison Fagan. I can't lie, dude. I'm on cloud nine right now because my Los Angeles Dodgers are heading to the World Series. This is just insane. Unbelievable.
Is that, like, the World Series are, like, a big deal?
It's kind of a big deal, you know.
Oh, okay. I'm not a baseball guy.
It's one of those things. It's kind of a big deal. Dodgers haven't been there in 29 years, you know, no biggie.
I hope they have a fun vacation. That's cool. They're going on like a team trip.
We are going to talk about the Lakers. I guess I'm not really going to call it disappointing because I didn't really have much expectations heading into tonight's or last night's game. But the Lakers got smoked by the Clippers. Because the Clippers are still a really good basketball team, and the Lakers are not.
And Blake Griffin is apparently going to win MVP this year.
No, I actually said it on that Coast to Coast pod that he's one of, and on another like season preview pod that I did. I would put money on Blake Griffin as MVP because I think you'll get good value there. Anywho, we are going to talk about tonight's or last night's game. We're going to just kind of free flow about it. I'm not nearly as upset or freaked out about this thing as many tend to be. If I was just going by my Twitter timeline as
always a good place to judge reactions.
Yeah. But if I was to judge solely off of that, I am not as worried as many out there. As always, find the show on Megaphone, Panoply, Spotify, Alexa, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Lakers Nation, Lakers Outsiders, all of those good places. Harrison, you watched the game in a hotel room. It looks like across the street from Staples Center with a bunch of your colleagues from Lakers Nation. What was the vibe inside the room like?
Well, it started out on cloud nine like you because of the World Series thing, because they're all Dodgers fans, and I'm not really like a fan of baseball. But they were all very excited, and then as the game went on, it was kind of like, oh, so the Lakers are maybe going to be bad again. Okay. And, you know, I think for the most part, everyone there was still optimistic, and I think that in general – You said if you were to judge exclusively by Twitter, that's a faulty kind of idea in the first place anyway. Like,
yeah,
you should never judge things by Twitter because Twitter is not representative. But if you were to judge this game by Twitter, you would think that Brandon Ingram had died at some point during the game and or just like lost a limb and was just never going to be able to play basketball again. And that Lonzo had like 30 turnovers and just been garbage overall. When I thought that both of them, there were like a couple positives from them. Were they good tonight? No. But I saw some decent stuff at least.
So Ingram was the one concern. Ingram going 1-for-8 and his statistical output is not really going to concern me because stats kind of come and go, especially in one game sample sizes as we saw tonight. The thing that concerns me with Brandon Ingram is the expectation and playing style. Like, I don't know if this is something that the Lakers coaching staff is hoping to get from, is asking for him to get, is these isolation pull-up contested twos, these forced drives against guys who are much stronger than he is. I don't know what coaching is going on with Brandon Ingram, but the playing style concerns me with him a lot more than, you know, at one point tonight being 1-for-9.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought that tonight he was better about not forcing things than he had been during the preseason. I thought tonight was a sign of progress. I thought that he had a couple times where he made the right play and just moved the ball along. But, I mean, for sure, he forced things. And when you're forcing things and your shot's not on and you look out of control and you look like you can't finish like Brandon Ingram often did, then that's obviously an issue.
I would just – I guess for me, if I was to have – True Serum and Luke Walton in front of me, I would like to ask him, hey, what are you honestly expecting from Brandon Ingram? Like, what are you coaching him to do in any kind of situational offensive output? Like, what are you hoping from this kid that has him so convinced that he has to just dribble into defenders the way he does? That and look, I think tonight was kind of as bad as we'll see him in terms of making shots. I don't think we'll see him miss as many easy, you know, he missed a couple layups tonight. At one point tonight he got fouled and shot a layup backwards somehow. So I don't think we'll see it as bad as we saw it tonight throughout the year. But what I do want to see from him is all right, what direction are you being given from the coaching staff to be successful on a basketball court night in, night out?
I think that we're going to have to wait and judge that until after we've seen him go up against a couple more NBA teams mm-hmm. that are kind of dialed in and playing regular season defense, and then, you know, just this game and the couple preseason games. I agree that there's reason maybe for like mild concern right now, but I think this is starting to be trite, but it's just important to remember he is only 20 years old. And so ultimately, sure, could he end up being Wes Johnson, who he kind of faced off against tonight? Like, yeah, it's possible. But I don't think that that's the most likely outcome for him right now. And I think that everybody just needs to maybe take a deep breath, even if you're not happy with how he's playing right now.
That's fair. We're going to take a quick break and then get back to the rest of last night's game against the Los Angeles Clippers. We'll talk to you in a second. All right, so the other thing everybody was kind of watching for tonight, or the only thing, the top priority that everything was people were looking for heading into last night's game was Alex
Caruso.
Exactly, yes. Alex Caruso, and how much hair was he able to grow from the end of the preseason to the start of the regular season.
Hey man, say what you will, but Big Balder Brand came out tonight, you know. He has apparently taken the Lakers backup point guard spot, which means, you know, that if he is to hold on to that, then it means that most likely he will be taking over that role for Ennis and probably end up with like a full-time contract, and the Lakers will have to cut somebody. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. If that is the takeaway from tonight, and again, that's just me maybe reading way too much into one substitution in the first game, but it seems like he may have won that spot, but obviously that is not the point guard that we are here to talk about in all actuality. And we've somehow made it almost 10 minutes into a Lakers podcast about the first game of the season without mentioning Lonzo Ball.
So I don't understand, and I tweeted this out right before we went live. I don't understand this whole, like, Patrick Beverley is somehow indicative of NBA players going at Lonzo Ball because LaVar Ball is an asshole. Like, I don't understand that narrative because
Patrick Beverley has said that narrative multiple times. Like,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Right. But that's kind of like,
that's why people are talking about that because Beverley is saying that's literally the reason he did it.
But that's people being stupid because you're overlooking the fact that Patrick Beverley is this way with everybody he plays against. Like, it's not like
I don't know if it's to this level, to be honest.
No, dude, the guy tore Russell Westbrook's ACL in a playoff game heading, like, as Russell Westbrook was calling timeout.
Okay, one time,
though. One time. Okay. You're going to make the bad apples argument with Patrick Beverley?
I'm going to speak for Patrick Beverley right now. He regrets that. He feels real bad about smashing Westbrook's meniscus or whatever it was into a million pieces, and you know he definitely learned from it and wasn't like shoving Lonzo to the ground and like getting probably way too in his grill tonight.
Because I was watching Patrick Beverley everywhere around the court. He was a he flopped on Larry Nance Jr. on a play. He was all in Alex Caruso's jersey every time he was on the court. Like, I don't know if it was a team-wide vindictive nature that Patrick Beverley was just expanding because LeVar Ball is the way LeVar Ball is. But, like, if there's one – it'd be one thing if, say, like, Jeremy Lin was out there and fighting Lonzo Ball, right? And, you know, and was spent the entire game inside Lonzo Ball's jersey when Jeremy Lin has never really shown that type of up-in-your-face nature. But that's what Patrick Beverley does with everybody. And I'm the guy who was nervous with Lonzo Ball heading into his NBA career because of the way LeVar Ball carries himself. But I don't understand this whole narrative that somehow Patrick Beverley went harder at Lonzo Ball when it's opening night. He is trying to show Clipper fans that they might not miss Chris Paul as they necessarily might have in the first place. Like, the circumstances would – it'd be weird if Patrick Beverley was easy on Lonzo Ball. Like, that would be the development of all developments if that was to happen. It was never going to happen.
If he was, like, whispering tips in his ear as yeah. he guarded him. Yeah. He's like, hey, Lonzo, you're going to want to go left. Like, I know – I understand less, why you went left that time. Yeah. But I was trying to force you that way so that I could steal it. So just, like, remember, next time go right on that. I know that, like, my body language would make you think that was the wrong choice, but I promise I won't be able to strip you if you do that.
Exactly. It'd be kind of weird if that was the case. But
yeah, that would be very strange. But we should talk about Lonzo Ball's actual game.
How did you feel about what you saw from Lonzo Ball?
I mean, I tweeted at you during the game because, like, oh my God, is he a good passer? And it's just crazy. And I guess, like, it's because he was out for a couple preseason games, but he makes this stuff look effortless sometimes. And I know he didn't have the big assist count. Like, I'm sorry, the Lakers have a really poor shooting team. It's not all on Lonzo's teammates, but.
Well, that's what happens when you start the game with Brandon Ingram as your shooting guard and Luol Deng playing small forward. Like, your assist count is going to hurt because of a stupid decision by your coach. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just the Lakers don't have a good shooting team anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, but he is an amazing passer. And the other thing that I really liked from Lonzo's game tonight is people always talk about this intangible stuff about, oh, he's just a winner. He just knows how to win. He just does this and that. But I actually kind of – I buy into that on some level because of the way that he really just – he battles for rebounds, and he makes these little plays, and the way that he outlets the ball and gets the Lakers into their offense fast. I talked about this on the Lakers Nation postgame show a little bit, so thank you to those of you that watched that, and I'm sorry this is repeat. But they – I mean, that kind of stuff, those are winning plays, and those are the types of things that are going to allow him to make a difference for the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm not as high. What I liked the most from Lonzo's game tonight was his ability to slide down and rebound really well for his position, and it was kind of funny.
And he battled for those.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was not just, like, running in and grabbing a free rebound like a lot of point guards do. Like, he was, like, muscling guys out of the way.
Yeah, this was not the Oklahoma City Thunder clearing the path for Russell Westbrook to go in there and get his triple-doubles. Like, this was Lonzo Ball getting legitimate rebounds, and that's going to be huge for the Lakers because they aren't going to get very many stops over the course of this season as we probably noticed tonight and as we will notice as these games continue to roll along.
What's a stop?
It's this thing that happens where the team that you're rooting for somehow prevents the team that you're rooting against from scoring. It's this weird thing.
Isn't that called a foul?
We haven't seen it in like 5 years.
Oh, so. I thought that was just a foul.
No, because a foul, they can technically still shoot free throws. That's a different kind of thing. We'll figure it out. Like one day we'll understand what it is again.
Okay.
But those rebounds in these rare instances where the Lakers make a stop, the more of those stops that result in Lonzo Ball getting a rebound, the better the Lakers are going to look in transition. Right. And that's kind of the bummer that we saw tonight. And this is how I thought it was going to play out going against the Clippers on opening night. They've had a week or so to game plan for these Lakers so that every time the Lakers made a stop, the Clippers were making a concerted effort to get back on defense as quickly as they possibly can.
Yeah, and they did a good job in transition tonight.
Absolutely.
I did think that it was funny that Doc Rivers, during the first quarter interview, basically just said scoreboard when he got asked about the Lakers' transition offense. He's like, well, you know, I like our transition offense because we're up 28-17 right now.
Yeah, Doc being in midseason Doc slash
Anthony, this current group of starters that he has with the Clippers is undefeated in playoff series.
He's right. They're undefeated in the regular season. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to pick up this conversation on Lonzo Ball here in a second. All right, so to pick up from where we left off, I think in tonight's game was always going to be tough, and this is why I'm not necessarily as down on the Lakers as my timeline and other timelines would indicate, is because, one, the Lakers are playing without their starting shooting guard. They're playing without their backup shooting guard, probably, in Hart. Josh Hart? I just blanked on his
name. Well, I think Clarkson's going to be the primary backup shooting guard.
Right, but in terms of like a pure Clarkson's role is kind of weird because it takes a lot for Clarkson to score, which is
He played pretty well tonight. He did.
He did, but like a lot of his baskets come with a lot of work from Jordan Clarkson. I'd like for his baskets to start looking a little easier. But back to the Lonzo Ball stuff. As the season rolls along, and as teams can't game plan for a week ahead of time, his ability to slide down, grab that rebound, and get into transition is going to be a lot more impactful than they were tonight or last night, because teams aren't going to make as concerted an effort to get back in transition against them because they're going to have so many other things to worry about as the regular season rolls along. So it was really cool to see that, and I thought it was also hilarious at one point in the telecast where Chris Webber was crapping on Brook Lopez's rebound total. I think at that point in the game he had like two rebounds. And then also mentioned in the same breath how well the other Lakers players were rebounding, whether it was Lonzo Ball, I think, or Julius Randle, whoever it was, were rebounding, while completely missing the point that he should have been making there.
Two unrelated instances, Anthony. It's actually... No, it's actually – I'm actually going to defend Webber here, because it's actually a rule of broadcasting cliches that if a 7-footer is not getting a lot of raw counting stat rebounds, then they are a bad rebounder and soft and worthless and should be criticized. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be kind of fun to just like point out our favorite broadcast cliches. And so one of mine is that. Uh-huh. I think the other one is that any point guard who is good at scoring is no longer a pure point guard. Mm-hmm. And they aren't necessarily the greatest teammate until they win a title, and then it was because they learned how to pass.
I personally enjoy any European player is soft until they prove otherwise cliche. Yeah. The Pau had to deal with that a bunch. The other one that I like is the use of deceptive athleticism with non-African-American players. Like that's a personal favorite of mine. But to get back to the point, I think there were parts of tonight's game that were obviously frustrating, and we'll get to that in a second. But there were also parts of tonight's game that I think the Lakers can kind of build from and build around when they aren't playing against a Clippers team that is going to be a playoff team, and also playing against any NBA team that doesn't have a full week to game plan for them.
Yeah, and they're going to look better against the Suns tonight, he said, jinxing
absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Famous last words there.
Devin Booker's going for 80.
82. Oh, good Lord.
He's going to pull out a Kobe jersey and say, I was the successor. Why did you take D'Lo?
That would be incredible. In terms of things that you were legitimately concerned about, like I can start with this because I'm kind of throwing this in your lap, but the one thing that kind of concerned me was Luol Deng starting at the three, and then the low minutes that Kuzma got, comparatively speaking, across the roster.
Yeah, You know, to be honest, there wasn't that much that I'm long-term concerned about tonight. And that's going to sound bad after they just got blown out and it was a dispiriting loss or whatever. And I'm not just being a homer. Like, honestly, I didn't see anything tonight that made me just think that these guys are hopeless. I think it's going to be fine.
I think they'll be hopeless because they were going to be hopeless in the first place, right? But they're not more hopeless than they were.
I mean, long-term.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, long-term, I don't think that they're going to be hopeless.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how long-term. Are you talking about, like, across the whole year? Because, like...
No, like, I'm talking, like, a couple years down the line.
Okay, yeah. Then, yeah, they aren't hopeless.
Yeah.
But Luke's coaching doesn't concern you at all?
No, I don't. Not yet.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd like to see him with... He hasn't coached a game yet with a full Lakers roster.
The one thing I guess maybe that you could point to is just his, like, how much he hates to break his rotation patterns to the point of just bringing up a guy from the third string that's probably not going to play constantly to just replace injured players in the starting lineup rather than just bumping up a bench player level and then bumping up, like, a DNP guy up to the second string. It just... That's the one thing that's my one area of concern with Luke, maybe.
I hope that isn't a trend that takes hold over the course of the year.
It did last year, so we'll see if it will continue this year.
Yeah, and look, it's tough because it's the first game of the year, and this is a night where you have the most people watching, probably. Like, I think more people will be watching tonight than... will be watching over the course of any other singular regular season game. So you have some of the hottest takes and the craziest conclusions drawn from a single game sample size. But I do hope that over the course of the year, Luke gets away from the idea that second units win games for bad teams. We saw that not work last year. I think if he sticks with it again this year, we're going to see it again prove to be a poor strategy. I hope he gets away from that and just put your best players on the court as long as you can possibly have your best players on the court together. It seems simple. But I think Luke is kind of overthinking a few aspects of basketball here with trying to outsmart other coaches and other teams and having a better bench unit than his starting unit might be. It just doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the one quibble that I feel qualified at all to have with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an NBA coach. He's smarter than me.
I hope so.
Yeah, I guess low bar.
All right. That does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. The Lakers play tonight against the Phoenix Suns. Hopefully they look better than they did against the Clippers. It was honestly never going to be a good game.
Like, yeah, I just feel everybody played bad. Like, these were all probably the worst games that these guys will have this week.
Okay.
I mean, like, over the next 7 days.
Okay. I thought you
Yeah,
meant,
yeah,
like,
no, I don't just mean
back
like
to, yeah.
Yeah. No, like as far as the next 7 days, this is probably the worst all of them are going to play.
Yeah, and again, like, the Clippers, to me, if things break right for them, I don't see any situation if things, you know, so long as nobody gets hurt for a prolonged period of time, I think they're a legitimate playoff team. Blake Griffin is really freaking good. I told, I think, at least two or three preview podcasts that I went on to talk about the NBA at large that Blake Griffin is a dark horse MVP candidate to me. Patrick Beverley is not Chris Paul, but if you want somebody to play off ball as Blake Griffin plays, like a point forward kind of thing, he's about as good a point guard as you can find for that role. DeAndre Jordan is still DeAndre Jordan. I think he had like a rebound per minute at one point tonight, which is insane. And so you have a team that has continuity, having played with the same coach as long as they have. So I think the Clippers are real. I think they're good. I don't think they're really good, but I think they're good. And they had a week to game plan for a Lakers team that already has never played a game together and is hampered by the fact that they are leaning so heavily on a rookie and still a second year coach, a second year head coach. It was just a cavalcade of poor circumstances for the Lakers tonight, and the game played out kind of how that turns out in such circumstance.
Yeah, we have late breaking podcast news here.
Oh man,
from LaVar Ball on ESPN. So he told ESPN tonight. Because Patrick Beverley was like yelling in the Staples Center, guts, like near the locker room or whatever.
Yeah.
That they calling Lonzo a weak ass MF-er and saying, bring him out here on the court with me and I'll tear his ass up. And LaVar has responded and he said, yeah, you shut the MF-er down and your check still ain't going to be no higher than what it is. Yeah, you shut him down. Okay, who is Patrick Beverley? He played all last year and nobody said anything about him. Now we're looking at your first game. Why? Because Lonzo's name is attached to it. And then he said a couple other things. And then he said, LaVar. And LaVar said, I just looked him right in the eye and looked past him because he's nobody. You talking to a big baller. One game, okay, you still don't have your own shoe. You are still not your own boss, he continued. Man, this is going to be an interesting year. We're going to be going to LaVar for comment after every game, I see.
Yeah, that's I'm really stoked about that. Can we talk to Julius Randle's dad?
You still don't have your own shoe is an amazing comeback.
Well, Patrick Beverley should have just said like let's look at how well your son has played in his own shoe.
Fair point. That'd be actually a pretty sick burn in response.
Yeah. Can I take a quick second to go on, not like a rant, just like if I had an open letter moment, can I do that really quick?
I mean, sure, I'll probably just cut it, but yeah.
All right. So the Dodgers last night, by the time everybody is listening to this, wrapped up the NL. They are heading to the World Series, and not only are they heading to the World Series, they are built to do some insane things in the years to come. They are going to be the Warriors of baseball. And my message to Magic Johnson is, look, you bought in as minority owner into this organization. And as such, you took a step back and you let Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi put together a staff of really, 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 really smart people to then not just manage the players that they inherited, but put together coaching staffs up and down the minor league systems and put together, when they were finding the manager of their future, they cast a wide net and they did all kinds of research. It took forever. I was at Dodgers Nation at the time. I remember reporting on these things. They looked at 13 different managers, it felt like. It might even have been 13 different managers. And my message to Magic is you've seen firsthand what it takes to be successful in the increasingly competitive culture that is professional sports. And my only hope is that you take those lessons back to the Lakers and you continue to cast a wide net and you continue to I would understand it completely if Magic Johnson thinks he is a basketball genius, because when he played, he was. But this is a different forum. So my only plea, Magic, is that you continue to hire smart people around you to be able to bring in as much information as you possibly can and run the Lakers the way the Dodgers have been run, because we're seeing the results of that. The Dodgers, for the vast majority of my lifetime, I turned 31 in 3 days. For the vast majority of my lifetime, the Dodgers have been a joke. And in a few short years, Andrew Friedman and his team have won 5 division titles. They are heading to a World Series, and they're a year ahead of schedule because they are going to be able to put together an insane roster as the contracts that the prior administration brought in can fall off and the Dodgers have insane amounts of money to spend. I just hope, Magic, that please, please learn those lessons, because I love the Lakers, man. It was really cool. I was watching the game with Daniel Berge and Grant Goldberg and Hani, I don't know how to pronounce his last name somehow. And we were all watching the game together, and Daniel and I were just marveling at the fact that, like, the Dodgers have been so terrible and they are so well set up. And that just comes from hiring really smart people who are willing to put in the work and the insane hours it takes to compete against the Daryl Morey's, against the Sam Presti's, against the Sam Hinkie's if he was still out there in Philadelphia, against the Bob Myers. Like, that's what it takes to be successful, is stupid, ridiculous amount of man-hour time. And I just hope, Magic, please bring some of that to the Lakers, because it's a fan base that's starved for it. And it could be a magical thing, pun intended, if we actually saw those things implemented.
I never assume that your puns aren't intended.
All right. I meant to put that rant in there earlier, but we'll see if it makes it into the final show. I'm Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. We'll talk to you again on Monday.